There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Phone number and text line, lucky for us, the same all these years, 251-343-0106. So you can text or call, same number, 251-343-0106. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you see the microphone, the app, it's free. It's if you're Apple user, go to the App Store. If you're a cool, hip Android user like me, you just go to Google Play. Both places look for FM Talk 1065, 1065, and get the app. But when you're there, you'll see a microphone icon on the front page. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. And also, reminder, it is time for the 2025 Alabamian of the Year Tournament. The voting is going on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Remember, this is the person, animals make it in every year. Is it a person, animal, event, thing, place that most moved the needle in the Alabama news cycle in 2025. So stories that are Alabama, and mostly Southwest Alabama, but that thing that most moved the needle in the news cycle. And the voting is up on our website, and each day we'll vote and work through. It's kind of like a March Madness thing. Work through the the hopefuls here, and then we'll crown the Alabamian of the Year before the end of the year. All right, and bring it on today. Good to see this man back in studio, Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. You already had a busy day today. We were talking about this. Y'all were working with Sheriff's Department at Prodigy Pantry.
Yeah, so we had a bunch of volunteers. Actually, we sent a little memo out, an email asking for volunteers to help today. And within 10 minutes, we were over our limit. So that was really good to see. And so we had a big group today handing out food, pushing carts, loading up carts, all the things. And you're talking about the Christmas spirit alive and well. It's going on at Prodigy Pantry. Those guys do a great job.
It is. It's a great thing to do. It's also a side note. I know you're doing with Sheriff's Department, but y'all, and not like I'm perfect because I get some revolt from the children, but over time, take your kids to do, whether it's Prodigy or one of these things, whether Thanksgiving or Christmas, take the kids. And I don't have a big long list of dad accomplishments that are, superlatives. Mm-hmm. But I think making the kids go, volunteer and help and see this in the season, like, opens eyes.
Well, and it's not only that, Sean. You get to see a lot of these people that are receiving the groceries, and you're talking about people that really appreciate what's being handed to them. And so that's that side, too. It's good to see because, this day and time, not everybody's appreciative of a lot of things. And
right.
So, of course, at Prodigy, they have a core group of volunteers that pretty much they have just about every day that they give out food. And so it's really good to talk to them, and I think they really enjoy just meeting new people.
Mm-hmm.
and while you're circling those grocery carts with them.
Yeah, we need to do, people talk about back during the shutdown and issues with SNAP and people were having. I believe in helping out our fellow man. I think more of that in the private and charitable sector needs to be there. Like, so we don't just talk about it when something like that happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to a lady there today, met her for the first time, and she works for a really large company throughout Alabama. Actually, she said seven southeastern states, and they have about 1,000 employees, and they give each employee 16 hours a year to volunteer that they cover, and it's up to them to where they want to go volunteer. And I was being head of the sheriff's office, I was thinking, that's a really cool mm-hmm. idea. Give people, to get a chance to get out, serve the community, all the things that it's what's really important to you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, the system, it might be Prodigy for one person, and it might be doing something, you know, yeah, kids' charity or something else for somebody else. Or
so she actually works from her home, and she gets to choose which charity that she wants to do. And she did Prodigy this time, and I think she did a religious charity prior to this. So it's really what's important to you, but it really is a great idea for employers.
Okay. Hey, people here at work are listening. Y'all can do that as well. We'll figure out how many hours.
That's right.
Okay, so much to get into today. First thing up, even though this probably, as all the things I'm going to ask, people are like, why this one? It's because conversations I've had with the sheriff before, we talk about Hangout or Sand in My Boots or those festivals down there, and how big a deal it is, and how, you know, y'all, your deputies work, are paid by those events to be down there to keep things. It's a pretty big deal with it not coming back this year.
You know, it is. We talked about this morning when we were standing around, and we've gotten this question a few times. I hate it, you know, because it's one of the opportunities that we get to work together as the sheriff's office where we can have 50, 60, 70 guys, you know, on at one time down there. And obviously the lost revenue is one thing, but it's really a lost opportunity for us to do and have some fun. You know, you're going to deal with certain things inside those venues. You know, it's our job. It's kind of like the drug boats. You know, if you keep them from coming in, you're not going to have a problem.
We're going to get to that in a second.
While you're there, you know. And so we enjoy that aspect of it. But it is a good opportunity for take new deputies and train them, new corrections officers, and train them around senior people that they may never get to work with other outside that environment.
So, I mean, it is. I mean, I think about it, and I know there's reasons for it, but you know, that's y'all's part with Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. I think about the revenue. You know, you're looking at for Gulf Shores. Over time, I've heard, you know, plenty of people from Gulf Shores listen to the show, and they've given me the other side of it. They say, you know, the parking and the people everywhere and all that. But it's just like Mardi Gras. You could argue there's a bunch goes on here in Mobile, but the revenue balances out that seesaw pretty well.
Yeah, you know, and I think we showed last year, and maybe that might be something that was factored in this year, but the Sand in My Boots was such a success. There were so few arrests, and it's particularly when it comes to drug-related crimes. We know we can do a really good job with it and have a very successful event. So I would certainly hope that we would move back to that model, you know, as soon as we could.
Because it sounds like, I don't have everything here in detail, but 2027, something's going to happen again?
That's my understanding, that there are talks about trying to do that again. And we were told last year that they didn't know that they would be able to put on a Sand in My Boots type thing event every year, that it might rotate back to some of what was the traditional hangout. But again, I think that there's enough smart people down there for sure that they can figure it out.
Okay, you mentioned this, and it was like number two question I had for you. Your perspective, as you know, we talk about what's going on off the coast of Venezuela, all right, with the drug boats being sunk and shot. And then let's talk front lines here, Baldwin County, Alabama. Have you seen any reduction? I asked this to Sheriff Birch, too. I don't know how the drug dealers work. Do they have 3 months inventory on, you know, is it direct ship? I mean, have you seen changes in fentanyl in Baldwin County or not?
Well, I can tell you we've definitely, and I'll knock on wood every time I say this, our fentanyl overdoses are down, and they're down fairly dramatically. Our number of arrests are down.
Yeah, fentanyl can be here all over the United States as long as nobody takes it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, there's a couple things there. And again, it goes back to what I just talked about. If we don't let it in, we don't let it inside the border, it's not going to be a problem inside here, right?
Yeah, but it does, obviously it's reducing it by X amount, however many boats are sunk and all that. Secondary effect would be people not volunteering to go do it, although I think a lot of people are forced and conscripted by the drug. The major players of the drug cartel are not piloting the boats, right?
Well, what it's done, Sean, I think you need to look at it this way, maybe, and this is the way I look at it. It's at least disrupting that trade route. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to come up with a new method to get that in. And keep in mind, you know, the president disrupted bringing it across the border. Okay, that was the primary trade route that was disrupted, and so we're feeling some success from the things that he's done down there on the border. So now he's stretched out, and you know, I'm a fan of doing this. We got to keep these drugs out of the United States. So it's just another interruption to the drug trade. Now, will they adjust?
That
Absolutely.
Was what I was
they're
saying.
They're going to adjust, and that's what we do as law enforcement. We adjust as well.
Because, I mean, as long as there's a demand, they're going to figure out.
There's always going to be a demand, and it's always going to be highly profitable. But it's nice to see the resources the United States has put in to controlling the flow of illicit drugs into the United States.
So on your end, which is frontline, you're supporting this and you think it's going to make it's making a difference of some level.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know, you know, one thing that I know is fentanyl kills people. I mean, we've seen it painfully firsthand how deadly that it is. And anything that we do, you know, again, these people chose to go into the drug trade. They knew the dangers when they entered into it. And, you know, I agree that the narco-terrorism is a real thing. I think it's the responsibility of the United States government to help control that.
All right, coming right back. More with Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Sheriff Lowry in studio. I mean, kind of pull back the curtain, which, I mean, curtain kind of stays open on the show. During the news break, Sheriff and I were talking about this, and it started to make a little bit of sense because if you're like me, a child of the 80s, you remember the news stories. Heck, you remember the TV show, Miami Vice. Miami Vice would not have existed if it wasn't for fast boats bringing every episode, like, and they're bringing another boat in with the drugs, right?
Absolutely.
And then that kind of, that, you know, the planes and the boats coming into Florida and, you know, all through the Gulf Coast as well, was the stuff of legend and news in the 1980s. And then I didn't think about the fact that it kind of faded away. And that's when the border got more porous.
Right.
And you just kind of, you talked about it with me, like logistically, it made sense. I mean, you and I both run boats in the Gulf. That's a risky proposition to try to, you know, weather-wise and all that. It'd be easier just to carry it over
land. I promise you, if they're trying to run drugs on a day I'm trying to go snapper fishing, they're probably going to sink one of those boats because it's always bad weather. But, yeah, there's so many variables there that you don't have to deal with necessarily if you bring it across the border, but you don't have to worry about if you're flying, you know, if you're getting across the border with mules versus flying airplanes or get these high speed boats that are really susceptible to environmental and weather conditions, you know.
So this is what made sense. We said it. It's like, so President Trump gets things locked down on the border. And now boats are back. And now we're back at Miami Vice time.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, do I think it'll change? Will there be another method? Will they start using big container ships more than they have previously? And will that impact the port of Mobile? You know, those are things that we have to consider here locally.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about drones. That one and longer range drones, no risk. If we shoot the drone down or the drone falls, the drone's not going to turn evidence.
Right. The drone's not going to say who sent it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but again, we talked about this. You know, the United States probably has better radar than it's ever had in the history of the United States. And a lot of it specifically designed to detect drone activity. And so, you know, again, it's an adjustment that gets made.
Okay. It's just interesting. It's how when you said it, I went, oh, yeah. Well, that was like the 1980s. It comes back. But we do have better technology. And we'll see. Lord knows the drug cartels have their own armies and their own technology sectors as well. So.
Well, and keep in mind, Sean, we have a border to the north that's not nearly as heavily policed as the southern border at this time. Will they adjust?
I bet you I could find places to walk across the 48th right. parallel, no problem.
Yeah, so absolutely. So will they adjust? I mean, financially, it makes sense for them to.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'll get to some of these texts here in a second, because I want to ask you about this. It's Christmas time. Traffic issues. You drove Airport Boulevard out here as soon as it's the shopping traffic and all that. Your concerns on that, I know that's not the main thing that sheriff's departments do. It's more municipality, but you don't do anything.
Well, we do. I think Sheriff Birch and I actually just shot a little bit of a commercial about don't drink and drive. You know, there's so many opportunities out there with you know, driving services that you don't have to do that. And that's the number one dangerous thing. But, yeah, we'll be working a lot of, we call it base detail. It's Bay Area Street Enforcement. It's a grant that we get through ADECA. And so we will have deputies pretty much every day working 4-hour shifts that work nothing but traffic.
Okay, so Sheriff's Department will be working traffic.
Yeah, we'll do it on an overtime. You know, we don't work traffic accidents. That's something that ALEA or the municipalities will handle. But we've identified, the state has identified hot spots in Baldwin County that we will be active in.
Okay, and by the way, traffic-wise, y'all have circles, don't you?
We're getting a few circles over there, yeah.
You see what happened with the brand-new circle here in Mobile?
Yeah, somebody straightened the circle out. Yeah. They put a little line right through the middle of the circle.
We can't have anything nice here, man.
Nah, it takes a little while.
Also, update here on what's going on at the Baldwin County Jail. You have detainee, and I get, you've explained it before, but for people who don't know, you can house people, because immigration arrests are federal.
Yes.
They are a federal thing, but you can house them at the county jail.
We can now. You know, we're a full participant in the 287G program, which essentially allows us to do some federal immigration enforcement now. We have several guys that have completed those training courses, and both inside the jail and on the road. We actually now house illegal immigrants from throughout the state in Baldwin County. And we're able to hold on to them for about a week. The president issued an order that suspending the 72-hour hearing that these people had to have before they had to go before a judge. So now,
so it's not just from around here. Pick one up in Calera or something like that.
Florida, anywhere. We're just a good location. You figure we're right off I-65. We're not far off I-10.
Yeah.
It's a good place for us. And we are housing throughout the week. And then they bring a bus. And a Trailways type bus, load them up and take them to Mississippi or Louisiana about once a week. It may be a little more often than that, but not much more often.
So, yeah, and I remember we talked a lot about the Louisiana facility, but now I've heard Mississippi. Where is it?
Hancock, Mississippi.
Okay, Hancock.
And I still think that's not ultimately, they have to go to Louisiana for the ultimate deportation or initial deportation hearing. Actually, and I think there's an ultimate one in Atlanta that they have to go to as well.
By the way, I'll get my correction here. This texter, so I'll go ahead and say it. Said, Sean, Sheriff Mack told me one time, is the office of the sheriff or the sheriff's office, but it ain't no sheriff's department. So
that's right. Yeah, we're not. It's a constitutional office. So
yes,
yeah,
so corrected. So I stand corrected there. This texter says kind of what I was talking about. He said, I'm concerned about the drug cartels sending innocent people against their will under threat of hurting their families or themselves in the boats. Otherwise, blow those suckers up. That's from ANS. But, I mean, that is one of my concerns. Like, it's not the El Chapos that are getting in the run the drug boat.
I understand, Sean, but I'll tell you this. And look, everybody has an opinion. I'm certainly trying not to infringe, but the terrorists that blow things up throughout the world, you know, they're in the same boat a lot. Yeah, no pun
literally.
Intended. No pun intended there. But, yeah, they do a lot of those suicides missions under duress for their family. So it's one of the things why I'm appreciative of the situation that they may be in. But our role is to protect the people of the United States and the people of the state. And if that means destroying those drugs and the people with it before they get into the United States, that's just the way it has to be.
What about, we talk so much, and rightfully so, about fentanyl, but what about the other, there's a bunch of other drugs out there,
oh,
too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know the fentanyl gets in the other drugs, but I mean, there's still cocaine and marijuana and heroin and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you know, we still work a lot of bulk marijuana cases, and not really a lot of heroin here today. You know, the fentanyl has really kind of surpassed, you know, it's cheaper, it's easier to get all the things that happen. And so it's we don't work as much heroin. We still work a good bit of cocaine, and we still work a lot of methamphetamines.
And that's an interesting one, too. And I remember this discussion with then-Sheriff Cochran, and he said when they put the smurfing laws in and worked on this, he said, hey, we're going to – he said, this is not going to keep people from doing meth. He said, what it's going to do is keep them from making it here and blowing up, burning children, blowing the walls off hotel rooms and all that
absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
The old Red P days were that was just so explosive, all the problems that we had. And so what you saw is the cartel found a market that was now more hungry for drugs than ever, because you can't make it in your Mountain Dew bottle there. You've got to
notice this is Mountain Dew Zero. Okay,
it is
so
Mountain Dew Zero.
No sugar.
Yes.
Zero sugar.
I'm not sure if that makes better or worse meth, but it's still, anyway. But, yeah, so the market was there. That's when you saw that they really put a lot of effort into these labs to really refine methamphetamines, and they made a product that was far superior drug-wise than what was being made, in your local Mountain Dew bottle. And so
you start thinking about this. I mean, it is a business for those folks. So there's this market, and they had the local version of it, built these people, but they said, okay, well, now they can't do it. We can do it more efficiently and take it to that same demand.
Right, right. So I think what whether you are for it or against it, but what I think you'll eventually see is that, is this and we've talked about this before, the president's talked about this before, do we make a move now that we start directly hitting those cartels in Colombia and Venezuela directly and move on from on to the source of supply?
That's been discussed even in Mexico.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know, the president, she had said something like one time, sounded like she was kind of open. Or not against it, and then came back. I don't know what if we're operating in a sovereign country.
Right. And so you would think that the country would be interested in eradicating drugs out of their own country, but
it's too much money.
Too much money. Yeah, that's right, my friend.
Coming right back. More with Sheriff Lowry.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. This segment of the show brought to you by Jeff Stone at Stone Arms and the rest of the crew there, which I stopped by, and they were kind of the look in their eyes when I walked in. A lot of people are getting in. And getting in to do their layaway on their silencers, their cans, their suppressors, and all the other accessories. Because, coming up in January, now you can play this both ways. So the big, beautiful bill, you remember that when it went through and people were texting me like crazy. They said, hey, they're going to remove the requirement to have the tax stamp for a suppressor. They couldn't do that because it could only be done on the tax side of it. They couldn't do actual law. So what they did is remove the $200 fee. To do this, you still go through the process, which I'll tell you about. It's very easy at Stone Arms, but they're removing the $200 fee. There's a lot of people that are ready on January 2nd because the first, I guess, federal government's not open, but the second, they're ready to put their application in, but know what's going to happen. There's a whole bunch of y'all going to do that, and the inventory is going to be diminished because there's so many people. So what's happening right now, so if you're thinking about waiting until January 2nd to do it, you can go in, you can buy that can, that suppressor, that silencer on a layaway. In other words, you buy it, it's yours as soon as you get your green light from the feds to be able to put that on that that rifle or that pistol. So maybe you need to take care of that now. And I would suggest too, this is just my theory, everybody's going to do this on January 2nd. So why don't you do it now? Because what'll happen is we'll go back to, it took me 2 weeks. I got my green light back in 2 weeks. But, it used to be 6 months, 8 months, 9 months for people to get. I think we're going to go back to that when everybody hits the website at the same time. So just think about that. And go into Stone Arms. I've talked about it. It's called a kiosk. Y'all, it's a computer on the wall. But it was so easy. For years, I goofed around with trying to get my application sent to ATF for this. I got it done in 20 minutes with this computer there. You just put your info in and make sure you put the right stuff. It doesn't let you mess it up. You put the right stuff in here, go to the next page, put your other stuff, go in the next page. Takes your fingerprints there, your passport type photo, and puts it all together, bundles it up to send to the feds, and it's perfect. So there's not any mistake you made, and you get your green light back. So accessories, suppressors, the kiosk, computer on the wall. Everything to get this done is with my buddy Jeff and the crew at Stone Arms. They're just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard and online at stonearmsinc.com. All right, continue our conversation with Sheriff Lowry. And I want to talk about some scams as well. I know you do at the Sheriff's Department. I went on a rant week before last. I mean, I'd been on a rant. And then Joey Clark, who will be on the show as Jeff Poor sometimes, said something about the phone ringing. And he lives with his grandfather's house. And so I just got him on the show. And for about 30 minutes, he and I just let it rip. It's year round now, but obviously Christmas scams out there as well.
You get people that are in the charitable moods and they're just Sean, there's no end to the creativity of these scammers. Obviously, we know that the big ones where you won the lottery, all the things that have been really traditional. But now you get so many calls saying, this is Deputy Miller with the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, and you owe $3,000. This happened yesterday, and a friend of mine, his daughter was to the point she was going to pay the $3,000 in Bitcoin.
Should be a clue.
Yeah, it should be a clue. And if you've noticed over in Baldwin County, we've tried to put some signage up saying, you know, make sure this isn't a scam. You know, don't.
Let me ask you this first, and then we'll go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff, will y'all call people's phone and tell them that they missed jury duty and they owe $3,000? Is there any situation where you're going to be doing that?
There never has been, nor will there be one.
So there's a definitive, y'all. You're sitting around with family members or whatever. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I'll go further than that. The sheriff's office doesn't call you routinely about anything.
Right.
And I'm not saying if you had a case where you were a victim, we might call you about that. But usually, even if you're a defendant, we're going to make contact with you. We're going to make personal contact with you.
Hi, but they're not going to get a call. Because I want to come back to the scam, too, because this is happening over here in Mobile County as well. They're not going to say, I'm Deputy So-and-so with the Baldwin County Sheriff's Department, and you owe us $3,000 because you didn't.
Never happen. Never.
Y'all hear it? There's no. So you're talking to those family members, because sometimes they say, well, you don't know the whole story. You heard it from the sheriff. It is not happening.
You know, and I've had friends and family, the same thing. People that get, you know, and they say a child's in jail or, you know, all the things they can pull, you know, heartstrings on. They try to get you to do that. And I'll tell you, unfortunately, you know, we met a couple weeks ago, Sean, with our partners at FBI. They came over to our office and we discussed the scams and the impact on Baldwin County. And it's in the millions of dollars in 2025, millions of dollars that people have lost.
And the ones that admit to it.
And that's Sheriff, the ones that aren't too embarrassed to say something about it.
Because I think there's an unspoken group that gets it, and they would never want to admit that they got fooled.
Yeah, I mean, we all have a certain amount of pride.
How much money are we talking about? I mean, it's going to be millions that you know.
Millions that you know. And I'll say this, that they've been really proactive, and that was one of the things we talked about, partner together to work on some of these things. One of the questions, what's the biggest scams in Baldwin County? Realty scams are probably lead as far as the number of dollars.
How does that work? Well, obviously bigger ticket, but how does that work?
So Sean's getting ready to buy a house. He has $150,000 down payment, but somehow your email's been compromised. You get wiring instructions where to send your $150,000 prior to closing. You go to closing, and the closing agent wants to know where Sean's money is.
Yeah, like I just sent it.
It's sitting offshore somewhere else in somebody else's account, and there's no getting it back. Well, I say that. One of the things that we talked about with the federal partners, and I want to make people sure that people know this, is the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3. You can go to that website. It's www.ic3.gov. And that is what explained to us, and it's been around for a long time, but the federal government's been really much more active in trying to pursue these scams. And they feel fairly good that if they can get notice of this scam and you report this within 48 hours, there's a good opportunity you can get your money back. That's one of the things you need to know. Now, what you also need to know is if you go and put all your money in Bitcoin, you're not going to probably get that money back because, you know, and it's reasonable, right? You say, well, I put my money in there. It's in this machine. But that money in that machine belongs to the bank. Your money was wired wherever you wanted it to go. That's gone. You're the victim. So it's not as simple as opening the machine up and taking the money back out.
Right.
I mean, it does make sense. I mean, don't get me wrong. But that money belongs to the bank that you put in there.
Well, and also, so the sheriff's department's not asking to be paid in Bitcoin either.
No, we'll never be asked to be paid in that.
So talk about this scam, the one that we started with, and I'm going to come back to it because it's very similar to one I heard from somebody here. This is the person was a daughter, somebody's daughter.
Yeah, so he's a good friend of mine, and his daughter is an adult. She's an adult, and the same thing. She thought she had missed jury duty. They're very, you know, telling her, you know, that very convincing that she had to pay the money. And she was to the point she literally was going to pay the money to keep from going to jail. And so I just, you know, I can't reiterate it
enough.
I don't
know her age. You said she's adult, but I heard.
I would say she's 28 years old. That's exactly, 30 years old, yeah.
the person that told me this story a few weeks ago that happened over here, his daughter's 26 or 28 years old, same thing.
Right.
And she fell for, you know, we worry about our seasoned citizens, our older folks here sure. with this, but these are two stories now, people in their 20s that you would think should be, they're raised in the internet age, should be cynical.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all, this is the second of these stories that I've heard, and these are younger people getting
and
caught up in
this. And I promise you, we could probably talk about them how it happening every day, multiple times a day. You know, so that the real estate fraud is a really big one. That's your emails, but your business email being compromised too. That, you know, the phishing, all of the things that's also big. And I hope that, you know, the FBI gave us some numbers, and they're not my numbers to share, but they're shocking. They're shocking, the amount of money. And so hopefully they're going to do some things to make people aware of what we're looking at. But I just, you know, that's my Christmas wish there.
Well, yeah, it's everybody's Christmas wish to stop.
Before it stop, right.
So many questions. Chris in Orange Beach said, ask the sheriff about scammers getting your title to your house that's paid for. Is that a problem in Baldwin County?
Yeah, I think that's going to be under some of the real estate stuff that we're talking about there. You know, not only getting your title, taking out mortgages against your title, you know, all the things your deed, all those things are happening in Baldwin County. That's why, you know, real estate is probably the number one scam in Baldwin County, because you're usually talking large sums of money when something like that happens. But again, we go back to these $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 Bitcoin scams. And all of the other things. And we've even seen some modifications, Sean, off of that involving they would send someone over in an Uber driver to pick up money and different things. All the way from something very local to people that stole your money are actually in the UK. I mean, that's just
And that was one of the problems in discussions I've had over time with law enforcement, even folks with the FBI in the past on the show, is trying to get it before where the bank can still call it back, because lots of these operators are not in the United States.
That's right. And they
could be in Russia. They could be in China. They could be anywhere.
Absolutely. And so that's why the IC3 thing is so important. Get them involved on the front end. It's a form that you can fill out. We're trying to work where law enforcement can fill it out on your behalf. But right now you need to fill it out and at least try to, you know, make an attempt. But we really need to do it in that first 48 hours. But I go back to
that because it helps them with the bank stop?
Right. Absolutely. It's a banking issue there.
Okay.
But I go back to, if it's rushed, if it's any of those things, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not real. You never have a deadline to pay a fine for jury duty or anything else that you got a phone call on. If you miss paying it for a speeding ticket, you're going to get mail on mm-hmm. that. You're not going to get a phone call.
And what I think you hit on something, I've said it over the years, if the call involves fear or greed, those two things, and maybe the sheriff can, if you think, but fear or greed, if that's the motivators, fear of, you know, getting in trouble or greed, I'm going to get you in on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big, you know, when I talk to
the two biggest red flags out there. Absolutely.
Because the Medicaid one they're doing right now, I don't know if you're hearing about that, but they're calling older folks, you know, family members and telling them they're going to lose. So it's the fear. You're going to lose your Medicaid. If you don't do this right now, you can lose your Medicaid. Well, what bigger fear does an older person have than that?
The only one is losing their freedom, and that's the two things they prey on.
All right. So, once again, the website, and Leanna, maybe we can get this up, and we'll put this on the Facebook page, but it is IndiaCharlie3.gov. Pretty easy. Even I can punch that many keys.
Internet Crime Complaint Center. That's the three C's, Crime Complaint Center.
All right, and y'all get that, even maybe just put it in your, you know, tabs on your computer so you have it ready to go.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More with the sheriff.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Having our conversation with Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry. There's a lot of questions on these scams as well. I don't know. This one was, how do we protect ourselves from losing our title to the House? You mentioned the wiring the money, the place, but
yeah, I mean, the problem is sometimes you don't know until it's too late. And so, you know, I don't have a good answer for that. That's some of the stuff we have to work on. It goes back to what we talked about, this, the changing environment of these scams. They get better and better, and that's part of what we're trying to do is educate ourselves on how to best handle them and make the public aware.
Napoleonic code is what I've said. To assume that everything's – I can't use that word without getting a fine. Assume everything's baloney.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's proven it's not. And I thought about this, talking to family members about this jury duty scam. I'm trying to make sure. I'm a lot of fun as a relative. Hey, before we eat dinner, sure. I want to tell you all. But I said, just pick up the phone and call.
Absolutely.
They called you, be like, okay, Deputy Smitherman, that's great. I'm going to call, and don't let them give you the number. You go get the number from online and call your corresponding sheriff's department and say, hey, just got a call from Deputy Smitherman saying, I mean, just take one extra step.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times, too, Sean, you can ask
them. Sorry, Deputy Smitherman, if there is one, sorry.
Yeah, you can ask them, well, who's the sheriff now in Baldwin County or Mobile County? And
oh, that's, yeah.
I mean, just little questions like that, you know, ask back. But, again, Sean, the best thing is to end the call immediately. Just hang up, block the call, block the text, move on.
Yes, but sometimes these people are good at it, and I see people that go, well, no, I can't hang up right now because it's something. There's some kind of hook they've gotten into them, either fear or greed.
Fear or greed. But I'll tell you, there's not a single person that's been booked into the Baldwin County Jail for missing their jury duty.
There you go. Rick suggests what is funny. Rick, I talked about this during the break. He said, blowing up the drug boats, I say add scam call centers to the cruise missile list.
Yes, I agree.
If we only knew where they were. Or
well, yeah, they're probably in some of these same countries that we need to be doing things in anyway.
Yeah, well, although I tell you what, Russia, they did a big piece couple years ago. It was called Cozy Bear or something. It was like, Sheriff, people like showing up at work, like clocking in, like coming into the building. It wasn't even like people in basements. It was like pulling in the parking lot, employee of the month or whatever. Sure. They go in there and they sit there and they scam Americans all day.
Right, right.
Like it was their job. Maybe they had retirement plan. I mean, it was that organized.
Yeah, and we go back to, is that different than the drug trade? I mean, they're trying to prey on the American people.
This is from Michael, says, I've heard rumors that in January, ICE is going to be shifting their task force from New Orleans to Mobile and Baldwin counties. Is this something you can confirm? And also, do you know the recent stats from the past few months on immigration enforcement?
Well, I haven't heard that rumor there. And you know, their ERO does work out of New Orleans, but we have a local guy that he's, quote, assigned to New Orleans, but he works out of Mobile. And so I don't know about the physically moving the office. I can tell you the numbers are up. Since we've been part of the 287G program, we have been working a lot of arrests. And I'll tell you what we found is a lot of these people, and our friend Erica Thomas asked me about this the other day. These people do have warrants, and you know, they had previous DUIs, multiple DUIs. Mm-hmm. So some of the folks that we're working now, they have previous arrest records, and so we're really happy just to be taking them off the street. She kind of asked me a little bit about the issue of should they be required to be able to read and write English to have a driver's license, and of course I gave her my opinion on that. Well, think about this, Sean. You're going home, and the highway department has a big sign up telling you to divert around this issue because there's an accident or there's a chemical spill or there's something. And if you can't read or write the English language and you drive,
no turn here,
you're putting everyone at risk by going into that. So, yes, they have to have some ability to communicate.
You know, and I know they're working on this from a federal level. They're working at a state level as well. But it's not perfect. Anecdotally, I was in near Vaden, Mississippi, coming back on Sunday. I had to translate between, and it was a big truck stop. I won't give the name, right. Pilot Fine J. Truck stop, and I'm standing there because the guy couldn't communicate, so I'm, because I speak Spanish, I'm translating between the cashier and the person. I'm like, and I see this guy, he's going right back out to a big rig.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's a problem.
Let's see. This is, I don't know if you can give me a one minute, because that's about what we have left to answer. David said, I watch a lot of cops on YouTube. How do y'all deal with the idiots, so-called sovereign citizens? God bless y'all and what you have to put up with.
Well, you know, again, we deal with them all the time. Probably not as frequently as we once did. I don't know if it's not quite as
it's popular. A big thing in the 90s, I know.
You know. But one of the things, you know, is you got to, your officer safety has to be paramount because those have historically were issues. You can't get caught up in all the documents that they're trying to give you and hand you and all those sort of things. You know what the law is. You work every day. You're a professional. You handle those stops the way that you would handle anything. And if they start trying to be argumentative, they don't want to get out of the car, there's procedures that you're taught and trained on how to do those things. And so, again, if we have to bust windshields or glass to get these people out of the car, we're gonna enforce the law. And, again, some of them can be very trying. And you know, you're trying to keep things de-escalated the best that you can, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
Well, there you go, David. So we did. We got a one-minute answer to it. Sheriff, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you and everybody at the Sheriff's
Office. Merry Christmas.
At the Sheriff's Office.
See, I didn't Sheriff's say Office, that's right.
Very good. All right, see you next month.
Yeah, see you then.
All right, very good. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.